You're Jesus, our friend. You're Jesus, our healer. You're Jesus, our Savior. You're Jesus, our deliverer. You're Jesus, our helper. You're Jesus, our King. You're Jesus, our all in all. And we're going to let you have your way in our midst. You're going to have your way in our heart. You're going to have your way in our mind. You're going to have your way in our body. You're going to have your way in this temple. You're going to have your way in this church. You're going to have your way in this body. You're going to have your way in this city. You're going to have your way, glory to God, in this state. You're going to have your way in this nation of ours. And you're going to have your way all over the world. Because Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we come together tonight, Lord, to lift up our hands without wrath, without doubting, and to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We give you praise and glory and honor. Now, Lord, we thank you that you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're right in our midst. So we thank you, Lord, that as we've come together tonight as a church family to come to your communion table, we thank you, Lord, that we're going to do it as you said in your word we should do it, in remembrance of you. So, Lord, we thank you right now that the Holy Spirit is here to inspire us, to teach us, to instruct us, to heal us, to set us free, to minister to us, to build us up and edify, to strengthen, to heal, and set free. And so, Holy Spirit, we say, have your way in our midst. We thank you for it right now. We thank you for your word, that the entrance of your word gives light. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. So we thank you right now in advance, Lord, that glory to God, just like under the old covenant, when you delivered the children of Israel, you sent them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble among their tribe. And Father, we know that in the day and age we live in the New Testament, under a better covenant, established under better promises. So, Lord, we fully expect that you manifest yourself in our midst tonight as Jesus our Savior, Jesus our healer, Jesus our deliverer, Jesus our friend, Jesus our helper, Jesus our peace giver, Jesus our strength, Jesus the one who called to love us. We thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, glory to God. Just greet one another and just say, I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I like to receive communion. You know, I think that Jesus, he's pretty smart. You know, God the Father's pretty smart, because I know I've been a Christian long enough to know that Christians know how to eat. And if there's one time that Christians get excited about coming together, it's usually around food. As a matter of fact, even if people aren't saved, have you ever been to a buffet and you sit there maybe on a table right close to where people are coming in? And I'll tell you what, about 90% of them have a smile touching one ear to the other. You know why? Because they're already anticipating that something good is going to happen. And so I believe that the Lord was smart when he said, as often as you come together, do it in remembrance of me. Do it when you're sitting at the table. Why? Because when you go to the table, you're expecting to receive something to put strength in you. I know when I was out there working in a secular type job, working from early morning until late night, working in the sun, I know that sometimes it would get pretty hot and my physical body would be running out of energy. And sometimes I wouldn't realize how weak I was until I started going into the restaurant. Well, the closer I got, the more excited I got. And you know, it didn't take but a few bites of that food, and all of a sudden, I felt strength coming into my physical body. My countenance changed. Glory to God, my belly changed. Everything about me changed. Matter of fact, I used to like to sit there at the buffets, David, and you know, I'd go in there as a bishop, and I'd come out as an archbishop, because I like sitting at the table. But, you know, it's neat to be able to come to the communion table, to receive communion as a family. And, you know, just speaking of eating at a restaurant, have you guys ever eaten at a restaurant where you've had a really good meal and, you know, maybe it was a little bit finer restaurant, so you were kind of debating, well, should I get the A menu out or maybe not, or should I get the entree, maybe not, should I get the dessert? But, you know, you're you're so delighted by being in that nice restaurant, you figure, why not? I've taken the time to get here. I'm going to go ahead and load up, going to get the entree, going to get the three-course meal, going to get the best dessert they have. And then you're thinking, right about the time you're finishing the meal, there's only one problem with this. You know, I'm going to have to pay somebody for this good food that I've just had. Well, have you ever had it where you've eaten a good meal, and so you tell the waiter, I'm ready for the ticket now. And all of a sudden, they come up to your table and they say, hey, guess what? Your meal's been paid for. You say, excuse me? They said, yeah, your meal's been paid for. Really? Yeah, somebody else paid for it. Well, who did? It doesn't matter. They said they'd rather have you not know, but the meal's been paid for. I've said this for years and years. I like meals, but the best meal, glory to God. Now, you be honest with me. Isn't the best meal a free meal? Well, Jesus set the table for us to receive a free meal with a full buffet of health, healing, salvation, deliverance, restoration, peace, joy unspeakable and full of glory, and everything you need. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, ability, encouragement, faith, anointing to destroy every yoke of bondage, everything that you need, the Lord done set up for you at the table. But how many of you know that in order for you to take advantage of what's at the table, you got to know what all is there? You go to a good restaurant, don't tell me you don't look at the menu. Some things on the menu you might need, some things you might not need. Your body will tell you if you really listen to it. Matter of fact, when you're really hungry, isn't it true? When you're really hungry, someone can't give you sweets. You got to have something good to eat, then the sweets. Well, this is the good thing about our Lord. Everything at His table tastes good, tastes sweet, and it's all good for you. But let's look at communion in the light of the Scriptures. Let's turn together to Luke chapter 22. How many know that Jesus was our teacher on communion, on life and living, how to be a Christian, how to live the Christian life? In Luke chapter 22, we're just going to look at a few scriptures concerning the communion table. Luke chapter 22, and we'll look at verse 19. This was right before Jesus was going to go and be crucified for you and I. And it says in verse 19, and he took bread, verse 19, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it unto them saying, watch this now, this is my body which is given for you. I'm giving my body for you. This is what my body's for, to be given for you. And he said, this do in remembrance of me. When you receive communion, when you sit at the communion table, he says, don't forget, when you sit there to have communion, don't forget, my body was given for you. Every time you receive communion, remember, my body was given for you. Remember this. Then he says, likewise also the cup, he said, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But the point is, he told the disciples, when you guys come together, he says, don't just come together and be going through some type of a religious ritual. When you come together, remember what I did for you. Remember there's a purpose in why you're receiving this communion elements. All right? Then let's look together at Isaiah chapter 53, because it talks about what he was supposed to do before he ever came on this earth. In Isaiah chapter 53, we're going to real quickly go over what Jesus told us to remember. And I'll tell you, it's good to go back over these things, because you can be a Christian for many, many years and be walking with the Lord and not really go back and really center in your heart on what Jesus did for you. How many of you know that you need to take advantage of everything that Jesus bought and paid for you? Everything that Jesus did, He did it for you to receive the benefits of it. But in Isaiah 53, it says this, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And then it goes on, it says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But what? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And watch this now. And with his stripes, believers need to know this, and with his stripes, glory to God, with his stripes, he didn't receive those stripes for naught. With his stripes, the Bible says, we are healed. Not going to be, not can be, not might be, not should be. With his stripes, we are healed. I mentioned a few moments ago, if you went to a restaurant and someone paid for that meal, would you think that they would think you're a nut if you went up to the counter and says, I know that that meal's already been paid for, but I want to pay for it again? They'd say, you can't. Why not? It's already been paid for. See, this is what we need to understand about what Jesus did. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. This is a gift of God. It's not by your works. It's not by you being perfect. It's not by you doing everything right. It's not by you being a church member. It's not by you being a tither. It's not by you being an usher or a parking lot worker. It's not by you doing anything. It's by the grace of God. It's by the mercy of God. It's by the gift of what Jesus did, that everything he provided, he already paid for 2,000 years ago. Your healing has been paid for. Your salvation has been paid for. Your peace of mind has been paid for. Your poverty and lack has been paid for. Your oppression and fear, it's been paid for. Your heartache and sorrow, it's been paid for. Your fear and rejection, it has been paid in full. And there's nothing you can do to add to what Jesus did 2,000 years ago when he died and rose again. It says there, with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sins of you and me. He laid all of our sin over on Jesus. Glory to God. And it says here, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears, he is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. When Jesus was going to the cross to die for you and I, he could at any time have called on 12 legions of angels. And how many of you know in the Bible, one angel killed 180-some thousand. Just imagine with his mouth, when he was going to the cross, he could have just looked around and thought, you know what? I thought that I was going to do this, but this wasn't worth it. But no, he knew that if he didn't dummy up, if he didn't shut up, if he just kept his mouth shut and received the punishment that he didn't deserve, he would cause one day after he was raised up from the grave to allow you and I to be the whosoever will, that whosoever will can be saved, that whosoever will can be healed, that whosoever will can be delivered, that whosoever will can be set free. He opened not his mouth so you can open up your mouth and be healed, be saved, be delivered, be set free by the power of the living God. Hallelujah. See, in Matthew 27, when it talks about the fact that him and the two thieves, one on either side, were being taken to the cross and set up on that cross, did you know that the word crucified means that he was standing up? It comes from the Greek word stao to mean when those stakes were driven in his sides and in his hand, when he was being raised up on that cross, literally it means he was standing up for you. He was standing up for the prostitute. He was standing up for the alcoholic. He was standing up for the thief, the drunkard. He was standing up for the righteous one that thinks that all they did is good enough. to be in heaven. He was standing up for people that were rejected. He was standing up for the lonely. He was standing up for the fearful. He was standing up for the oppressed. He was standing up for you so that one day when you believe what he did, you too could stand up. Stand up a new creature in Christ. Stand up healed. Stand up saved. Stand up delivered. Stand up with purpose. Stand up free. Glory to God. Stand up as a child of God, free from guilt, free from shame, free from condemnation. He was standing up so that you could stand up. He was standing up against the devil. He was standing up against demon powers. He was standing up against fear and oppression. He was standing up against sickness and disease. He was standing up against heartache and sorrow. He was standing up against impossibilities so that when you receive that resurrection life that he was raised up in, you are no longer the same person. Glory to God. So when you go to that communion table, realize this. You're partaking of the resurrection life, the resurrection strength, the resurrection healing, the resurrection ability, the resurrection anointing. So that when you receive those communion elements, everything he is, you get permeated. Everything he is, you get saturated with. So when you walk out into the world, glory to God, you're a miracle going somewhere to happen. You're good news waiting to manifest in someone's life. It's not just going through some kind of a religious mumbo jumbo. You're going to the table to get a fix from God, a fix from heaven. Amen. We ain't poor no more. We ain't broke no more. We ain't down no more. We ain't defeated no more. We're not weak, we're strong. We're not unable, we're more than able. Glory to God. Why? Because the life of God is working in us. Hallelujah. The power of God working in us. The power of God flowing through us to heal and save and deliver and set free, to turn Flowood, Mississippi upside down for the power of God. Hallelujah. Carl knows this. I've said it for years. You get filled with the Spirit of God, you'll have so much God in you, a mosquito bites you, that thing will fly away singing, "There's power in the blood." Wonder-working power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, what did Jesus do? Let's just look at a few scriptures. I'm not going to preach long. Blessed are the short-winded. They'll get invited back. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to go through just a few portions of scripture here. When Jesus was on the earth, he meant business. And right after he went through the temptations and the Spirit of God was on him, he knew that he had a work to do, but he also knew that he wasn't going to spend a long time on the earth. And so he had to begin to be led by the Spirit to go among the people and pick out people that were going to follow in his footsteps. And so in Matthew chapter 4, real quickly, we'll start in verse 17. It says, "And from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, 'Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.'" So let me ask you a question. This is a side trip right now. But are you fishing for men? Oh, you'll get it on the way home. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Another whole subject. And watch this. "And straightway they left their nets and they followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James and Zebedee, the son of his brother, and the ship, and Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the ship and their father, and they followed him. And Jesus went all about Galilee." Now watch what Jesus did. Jesus went about all Galilee, watch this now, "teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom," and watch this now, "and healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people." You know why people don't like disease? Because it's dis-ease. That's what it is. So he got these guys and they followed him and they watched what he did. He preached, he taught, and he healed. That's what he did. He said, "Follow me. This is what you'll do." Now watch this real quickly. Matthew chapter 8. A couple of chapters over. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. The Bible says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many. Watch this now. Why didn't they bring him unto the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees? Because they didn't have it. There's the answer right there. Anyway. There were many that were possessed with devils. And watch this. He cast out the spirits with his word. And watch this. He healed most that were sick. He healed almost every one of them that were sick, except for a few that were supposed to be sick. No, glory to God. If my Bible reads like yours, he healed all that were sick. Why? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Did you see that? Now, let's go a chapter over to Matthew chapter 9. And we'll start in verse 35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Watch this again. Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Did you see that? Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they were fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now watch this. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now look at the next chapter, chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against or over unclean spirits to cast them out. And watch this now. These are the disciples. Now it's not just Jesus. These are the disciples. To cast them out and to heal. Watch this. To heal all manner of sickness. Amen. And all manner of disease. Well, let me ask you this. Does that leave any kind of sickness or disease out here? No, he healed every one of them, didn't he? He told them to take care of everyone. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2 real quickly. Hebrews chapter 2. This is all the work that Jesus did. Hebrews chapter 2. And you need to go back over these scriptures yourself because I'm really, folks, I'm giving you a seminar in about 20 minutes. So you're getting your money's worth tonight. Amen. I hope you're taking notes. Hebrews chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 14. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, speaking about Jesus, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him, watch this now, that had. Oh, look at that again. He might destroy him. He's talking about the devil. He might destroy him. I want you to see this next word. That had. Past tense. That had what? He had the power of death. That is the devil. He had the power of death. Let me tell you something about the devil today. The devil does not have the power of death. Amen. Jesus took that privilege away from him. Amen. Long life belongs to you. When should you leave this earth? When you get ready to leave. Not until. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Amen. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And this is really where we're headed tonight with this before we receive the communion elements. Colossians chapter 2. And we'll start reading in verse 6. He says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, to walk in him, and I put in my margin, walk like him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, and after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, talking about being a believer in Christ, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. I like that. Who is the head of all principality and power. Amen. You know what he's saying? When you get to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, walk in him. Why? Because in him is peace. In him is strength. In him is dominion. In him is power. In him is authority. In him is deliverance. In him is healing. In him is joy. In him is power. In him, glory to God, is mastery. He's saying that in him, you ought to be a master in your life. A master over poverty and lack, a master over sickness and disease, a master over fear and poverty. Anything that would try to come against you that's not of God, you ought to be a master over that, just like Jesus was. So he said, when you come to the communion table, do it in remembrance of what Jesus did and what Jesus said and what Jesus demonstrated. Amen? So when you receive the communion elements tonight, just remember that. You're a partaker of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a partaker of his life and his ministry, and it belongs to whosoever will. Amen? Amen. We're going to ask Ryan and Tommy to come, and we're going to pray, and we're going to receive these elements right now tonight. And let's just go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be able to receive the communion elements. Father, we know that communion element and the communion table represents coming together as a church family. Lord, we know that word means koinonia, which means fellowship. And Lord, our fellowship is with you and with one another. And we thank you, Lord, that you said that when we come to the communion table to remember, Jesus, what you did. We're going to remember, Jesus, that you bought and paid for all of our sin, for all of our guilt, for all of our shame, for all of our condemnation, and for all of our sin. You, who know no sin, was made to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that in you, Lord, we are made righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you that you told us when we receive those communion elements to do them all in remembrance of you. And so, Lord, I thank you that tonight, as we are about to partake of the communion and the communion table, that we'll do it, Lord, with victory in our hearts, knowing, Lord God, that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Father, we thank you for that, and we're just believing you, Lord, that as we partake of these communion elements, that anybody that's here tonight that needs the healing power of God to go into them, Lord, that they'll realize in their heart what you did already. You paid for their healing. You paid for them to be free. You paid for them, Lord, to have a new life, a life of faith, a life of victory, a life of health and strength and peace, a life of joy and liberty and freedom in the Holy Ghost. And Lord, you told us as your followers to go likewise and do the same. So Lord, I just thank you right now that as we receive these communion elements, that Father, I believe with all my heart that it's going to be a new day and a new season in people's lives tonight. And I pray, Lord, that when they receive the communion elements at home or wherever they are, that they'll never, ever, ever receive those communion elements without doing them in remembrance of you. To take the time to remember that what you did because you love us. To remember, Lord, that you're no respecter of persons. And to remember, Lord, that you love each and every one of us the same. And what you've done for one, you'll do for all. If you healed one, you'll heal us all. If you saved any, you'll save us all. Because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And you guys go ahead and start delivering the communion elements. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11. And you guys just listen as you're receiving the elements, and then we'll receive them in a minute here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, The same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man or woman examine themselves, and let them eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation." That word should really mean condemnation to himself. Why? "Not discerning the Lord's body." Now, this is very, very important in receiving communion. Why do they get under condemnation? Not discerning the Lord's body. That body was broken to give you and I complete health and healing. He paid for it. Now, watch this. Watch this now. Why is it important that you know about his body? Why is it that people don't discern the Lord's body? They're missing a lot. It says, "For this cause," this is the reason why, "for this cause, many are weak." There ought not to be a weak child of God on this earth. "Many are weak." Watch this now. "Many are sickly." It doesn't say a few, folks. It says many. It ought not to be. Amen. What Jesus paid for me, I'm going to let it be. Amen. If he says he's my healer, then I'm going to say he's my healer. Amen. Watch this now. "For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So he says, when you come together, to come together and tarry for one another. I cannot tell you with enough emphasis tonight that you need to understand in your heart that Jesus, what he did in his life, in his crucifixion, the shedding of his blood, the stripes he took on his back, was to make you a whole person, whole in your spirit, whole in your soul, whole in your physical body. Anything less is shortchanging what Jesus bought and paid for. Amen. He bought and paid for you to be whole in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. Now, I'm not saying this if anybody in here is dealing with a physical sickness. There's another side of healing, and that is the emotional side. People can be under guilt or condemnation. He paid for that as well. Amen. He took those bruises so you don't have to be bruised. He took that condemnation so you don't have to be condemned. He did it all for you so you could receive everything he bought and paid for. But if for some reason you're here tonight and maybe you've been dealing with a sickness or a mental oppression or something like that, don't get under guilt and condemnation. Sometimes your healing isn't going to come just like that. It can come through prophecy. It can come through anointing with oil. It can come through the cloths that are prayed over. It can come through the laying on of hands. It can come through the gifts of the Spirit. There's lots of different ways that you can be healed. Sometimes if you're a brand new baby believer, God by his mercy and grace will just move on you by his Spirit and you can be healed supernaturally. But the most common way, listen to me, the most common way that you or I or any believer is going to be healed is found in Psalm 107 and verse 20. It says, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them of their destructions." When you get in God's word concerning health and healing and you meditate in it and stay in it and just ponder it in your heart, say it over and over, get it in you, that word, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. That word, I don't care what the doctor says, I don't care what the report says, whose report are you going to believe? Last Sunday morning, a lady stopped me right over there on that side by where that gentleman is right there. And she says, "I don't know if you remember me," but she says, many years ago, over 20 years ago, she says, "I went to the Bible school that you were an instructor at." And she said, "After I got out of the school, I found out sometime later that I had cancer." And she says, "I called you up And she says, "You know what you said?" And I said, "Well, no, that was, what, 20 years ago. No, I don't know what I said. What'd I say?" She said, "I encourage you to take the Word of God over the Word of man, because the Word of God is powerful. Don't believe the report of the doctor. Believe the report of God, that by His stripes you're healed." She says, "I took hold of that Word," and she says, "I got healed of cancer," and that was 20 years ago, and I'm here today. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Psalm 103, the Bible says, "Don't forget all His benefits. He heals all of our sicknesses and diseases." Amen. Every one of them. Anything less is not God. I'm not going to argue with you about it. Amen. It's in the Word. It's not my opinion. It's not religious theocracy. It's the Word of God. It's the Bible. It's what God's Word says. You get that Word in you. When you receive the communion elements tonight, just start thanking God that He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord, your healer. Amen. And I'll tell you what, get in the healing scriptures, meditate in them. And I tell you what, there's power in the Word to set you totally free tonight. Amen. What, are you ready to receive those elements?